Welcome to Let's Play Arcade. The show is simple. You have two best friends talking about a randomly selected Apple Arcade game, drinking a new random beer, and then shooting some shit at the end. Tonight's game is Dear Reader. My name is John, and with me tonight is my best friend, Derek. Derek, how are you?
I'm good. That was much better than expected.
Was it?
Actually.
Good. Yeah, my first podcast intro.
So for you listeners that are just joining us, it was almost a little bit too to the point. Like,
I wanted it to be a little bit briefer.
How you doing? Welcome. It was just like within 8 seconds. It was like, how are you, Derek?
Yeah,
but it sounded, your voice, you know, you switched it on and I didn't hate it.
That's good. Good. Awesome.
And I'm well. I'm doing well.
Good. Awesome. Well, I wanted to keep it a little briefer or more brief than.
Are you saying my intros are long?
No. I'm saying that by now our listeners have got the concept to the point that we can slightly reduce the.
So if this is your first time, F you. Go back if you want to hear what this show's about.
Yeah, isn't that what everyone does when they listen to podcasts? Is they go back and like a television show and watch them in order?
I don't think
no one does.
Have you ever like listened to we're off topic already. We started off topic because we're at 10 minutes of recording and 30 seconds of an actual show.
Yep.
Have you ever like taken a popular podcast and gone back and listened to like the first episode and how terrible that it always is every time?
No, I don't think I ever have. But now that you bring that up, it would be very interesting to do to some of my favorites.
Yeah, like there was, and I wonder like how it would sound, like things like ATP or The Talk Show, any of these tech shows would be interesting. But for a while, I was trying to do the true crime thing. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves true crime podcasts.
Everybody.
And people recommended me a few. I got kind of into a couple of them briefly, but there's like a super popular one, My Favorite Murder, that I had a hard time with just because I feel like the hosts annoyed me for whatever reason. But I listened to a few of them. They had like a couple of semi-local episodes, which were kind of cool. Going back to their first episode, for instance, like they sound great now and they probably, I'm sure they don't edit their own show or anything like that. But going back to like their first episode, it is terrible.
Like how they're able to verbalize or just the quality or
and
both?
The audio quality, like it's very interesting. But I mean, that's what now these people are big and rich and everybody knows them and their show is much better now.
Yeah.
And you know, this show,
we'll get there.
We're on episode 7, so we're still in the terrible phase.
Yeah.
But yeah, even thinking back to other podcasts I've done, like Geekscape Games, like how fumbly.
Have you gone back and listened to those at all?
I haven't actually. I should.
Yeah.
Especially like the very first ones, just to see what those feel like versus towards the end of the show, because I feel like the last year must sound so different and so much more succinct than anything prior to that. So
well, you and I are not on the same playing field either. Like you're at what is this episode 1,000 for you?
No,
like hundreds though, for sure.
Oh, several hundred. Yeah.
And I'm at what episode 10 or something.
I don't know if I ever told you. I don't know if I ever shared, but I think I might have told you, but I have basically been making, I made my first podcast when I was 15 years old, and it lasted for 3 episodes. And you know, it was high school, it was hard. Yeah, I had a job, it was hard to, the internet wasn't what it was today. Well, let me tell you, but wasn't what it was today. So we had to, me and my co-host, we had to get physically together, which I mean a lot of podcasts do now, but it was very hard. It felt hard to do. And you know, we were like 15, so we couldn't drive or anything like that. Like it was tough. And I got, you know, you get grounded. What do you do now? How do you make a podcast? Anyways, I have been essentially making the same podcast for almost 15 years now, because that podcast was called Random Movie Reviews. And in that podcast, essentially IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, has a random button. And what we would do for the 3 episodes that the show ran for is we would press a random button. We would actually have 3. We would press it 3 times, and then we would have to physically go to the video store on our bikes. We would ride to the video store, and we would do 3 just in case they didn't have the first 2 type thing.
Right.
Like we, you know, by the time we get to three, they're probably going to have one of them. Yep. We would ride our bikes to the store. We would rent that movie, watch that movie, and then we would pick up the recording again and give our thoughts on the movie itself.
Wow.
Yeah. So now I am almost 30 years old as of, well, I'll be 30 by the time this comes out, and still making the same show.
You're still randomly doing stuff, right? And talking about it on and a
then,
podcast.
And then it's like, I'm sure when Xbox Game Pass, Michaela takes a lot of the credit for that, but I have proof that I had the same formula when I was 15 years old. And it actually, the first episode, I found it a couple of years back. It's on, you can still find it on like archive.org or something like that, which is insane.
Wow.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's so bad.
It's too bad you didn't stick with it, though, because, you know, it's all those early people that super successful now.
That was 2005. That was so early. And yeah, I think that, honestly, I think that because back then I was, you know, there wasn't a lot of podcasts around, and I was listening to a podcast called Geek Drome, which later became Geekscape. And I was like, that, you know, this is really cool. I would like to talk about similar things. And I think that it was because of listening to that show that I decided to do random movie reviews. And now here we are all these years later on the Geekscape Network. So,
wow. Crazy. Like that's fate. That is crazy. Well, we're drinking a random beer. What is yours today?
Yeah. So it's an interesting time in my household because there has been a series of snowstorms in the land, and it doesn't snow very often here. And when it does, it's like, oh, it snowed for 6 hours and there's snow on the ground, and now it rained for 6 hours and now it's all gone. But that hasn't happened, and there's snow everywhere. And our second car, any snow on the ground, I'm not driving it. The snow is deeper than the car is tall at this point. So I have a beer that has been in my fridge for well over a year. I don't know if you can drink beer that's that old, but it's a, Granville Island Lion's Winter Ale, which is a great beer. 2019 vintage, I guess. It was winter 2018 to 2019 that we would have picked this up. So
you've had
that
this
is
beer
what
before.
I'm drinking. Not in very old form, but in general, I have had this beer in the
right.
past. Yes.
Right on. Well, and Granville Island is a very good brewery around here.
Totally. Yeah.
So
another local brew.
Yes. Are you nervous about the age at all? Beer doesn't expire.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be... I'm a very particular person when it comes to the age of the things that I consume. And this seems really old. There's no expiry date on it. So does that mean it never expires, or that typically you would just drink it long before you ever had to think about that?
That's true. I wonder. Mine actually has an expiry date on it.
Oh, yeah?
It says best before.
Mine has some numbers on the bottom, I cannot... They don't seem to be a date of any sort.
Mine is October 19th, 2020.
That it expires?
Yeah.
Oh, 2020. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost a year from now. So in that case, this is probably just expired.
Yeah, it said it was canned. And this was canned on, has a preparation date.
It has a canned date. Wow.
Yeah, it was prepared on the July of 2019. So yeah, expiry is a year and a bit. Almost a year and a half.
Okay, so I'm probably good. Fine. Well, I mean, like, wine gets better as it ages, right? Like,
to a point.
Maybe beer is the same thing.
Yeah.
I also have a beer fact for the week as well.
Okay.
I thought it was quite an interesting one. So in 2017, so just a couple years ago, the average U.S. citizen over 21 years of age consumed 26.9 gallons of beer. But the United States actually doesn't even make the top 10 in terms of overall beer drinking.
Wow.
Which seems crazy. 26 gallons is like... That's like more than 100 liters.
Wasn't it a few episodes ago that we talked about the fact that beer is like the number two liquid that's consumed?
Yes.
It's insane.
What was in front of that? Like tea?
Water.
Oh, yeah. Kool-Aid. That was Kool-Aid yes. juice.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes. Well, okay.
Some fine flavor crystals.
Yes. I'm drinking... Facts.
Oh, you didn't even tell us what you were drinking, and I totally interrupted you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't mind getting some beer knowledge before I say what I'm drinking. Facts, F-A-X-E, fakes, I don't know, facts, premium. And that's literally all it's called. It's from the Facts Brewery in Denmark.
Oh.
It was very Yes, not a local.
I've never even heard of this.
No, not a local
brewery. Not local. That's different for you.
Yes. And all I could really find, it just says the water used in brewing facts is drawn from deep wells where coral and lime layers provide a natural filtration system.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know.
That's gross.
Anyway, it's very generic, but it's from a different country, so I chose it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. Cheers.
Is it like an ale? Is it a...
It's a lager.
It's a lager, okay.
Yep. Okay.
Apparently, my beer has robust notes of cocoa, caramel, and vanilla, so that sounds good. Oh, it's very foamy.
On the computer?
Not on the computer today.
It's going to happen to one of us. Mine's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it's mine's a little, I feel like it's a little flat.
I wonder why.
But, you know, it's got, typically you would expect like a slight carbonation.
Yep.
And it foamed up at the beginning, like it was going to be quite carbonated, but it's like, I don't know. It's drinkable, but you know, when you're a kid and there's like been like pop in the, you know, it's like a 2 liter in the fridge for just one day too long and you still drink it because it's still like okay, but you're like, man, I wish I drank this yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I would drink
That's
it.
What's happening.
When I was a kid, I would drink it if it was like,
oh yeah, 100%. After, you know, if I'm out of Kool-Aid, what else am I going to drink?
Mine is a weird tasting beer. It's
Can you be more specific?
Well, I was sorry. I said that and then I thought you would respond and I was drinking. I mean, we've talked about this before, but it is weird how the taste of beer changes over like a 5 second period after you drink it. It's got a very odd aftertaste. Very strange. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I don't know.
Well, that's generally like what I dislike the most about a lot of beers is like they just taste terrible in terms of the aftertaste.
Yeah.
They're fine entirely before that, but the aftertaste is generally awful.
You know, your fact today, and we referenced the previous one where it's the number two consumed beverage. I guess that's what I just still don't, you know, we're seven episodes in. I still don't get it because by choice, I would just rather have a myriad of other beverages. I don't know.
A Smirnoff Ice.
No. Well, actually, probably.
A Kool-Aid with vodka in it.
Yeah. A gin and tonic. Anything. I don't know. All right. So, let's get into the game.
Yeah.
The game this week is Dear Reader.
Yes.
And do you have a description of the game?
Oh, I sure do. Okay. So, in Dear Reader... Play through your favorite books in Dear Reader. Puzzle through Pride and Prejudice, Wizard of Oz, and more. Sounds exciting, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As you unlock new puzzles and earn books for your library. Dear Reader lets you curl up and play your favorite books, turning classic literature into clever word puzzles. Unscramble passages from famous books, unlock unique puzzles, and add new books to your library. I'm going to keep going. Dear Reader includes 50 literary classics and dozens of different word puzzles, from unscrambling anagrams to swapping lines of text. As far as we know, this is the first game where you can actually dive in and play with the actual written words from so many tempting books. Yeah, that's the game.
Yep. These descriptions are always so good.
That one, I feel like that one was fine.
Yeah,
that
it was
one,
fine.
That one didn't seem over the top. Nothing will ever top Spaceland, I don't think. That was...
Yeah.
That was something else.
Yeah. So, do you want to go first?
First, I want to tell you about how you feel about this game.
Okay, I'm ready.
So this is me speaking as you, because I...
Well, first of all, when did you come to this assumption?
Oh, within like 4 minutes of starting the game. here's a list of things that you feel about this game.
Okay.
This is not a video game. Why would this even be on a service like this? Like, it's supposed to be full of video games and all I'm doing is reading books. It's not even fun. Why would I want to read these shitty old books anyways? I had more, but I'm forgetting them. You know, I think that pretty much covers it. That's pretty much the worst game I ever played. That's your quote line. Like,
okay,
yeah.
So,
so tell me how right I am.
I sat down.
Wait. The user interface is nice. Those are all your thoughts on this game.
Oh fuck. Excuse me, you got me at the end there.
Yeah,
so I sat down to write down my thoughts on this game, and I would just summarize it with basically what you said. You definitely gave it a bit more of a negative tone than I probably would myself. Okay. It's not much of a video game.
Yeah, I feel like your perspective of what a video game is very narrow.
Maybe. I did not hate this game. I just found it kind of boring. That kind of sums it up. You are right. I thought that the interface was very good. I really enjoyed the music, the way they did the sound effects, all of those aspects. My final thought on this game, I'll just jump right to it, is I think it's a very well-made app. I think they did a really good job. The tactic feedback was fantastic. As far as quote-unquote gameplay, it was just really easy. It never really felt super challenging to me, and I don't know. I'm interested to hear what you thought.
Really? Okay.
But when I went into this game, I did have the positive thought that this is great. Someone's trying to, you know, gamify reading. Mm-hmm. The problem is that while you're playing the game, if you want to call it that, I prefer to say maybe word puzzle.
Yeah.
It is hard to retain and really...
Little known fact, a puzzle is a type of game.
Yes. Okay. Well, I just think that it's hard to benefit from reading the book when you're trying to solve the puzzle that's on the screen. Mm-hmm. So you're not really getting the benefit of reading. It's not like you're sitting down and saying to yourself, okay, I'm going to play this game and also read Wizard of Oz or Alice in the Wonderland. Because it's at least for me... was hard to get much gratification from the book while you're just mainly trying to solve the puzzle.
Sure.
The other thing is that the books are abridged. So you're not really getting the full experience of reading some of these books.
It's like Cliff Notes, feels like.
It does. And I did think that, you know, I like a lot of things, would enjoy more time to read. And kind of felt like this was a good excuse to do both, play a game and read. But the reading side of it just kind of left a lot to be desired. You're not really getting much from that. And then the puzzles just didn't seem that hard. So, you know, it's not like I was ever challenged. You know, you're just – the puzzles, and just for everyone listening, there's different styles of puzzles. But one of them is literally words are misspelled and you have to just tap on them.
Oh yeah, that one was like those puzzles were like, why do these exist?
Yeah, like you're just like, oh yeah, that word's misspelled. Tap on it. There you go. Yeah. Some of them lines are in the wrong place, but again, I just found it very easy to figure out which lines went where. So yeah, you did in a little bit of a dramatic way summarize my thoughts. I didn't hate it as much as maybe you made it sound like I would.
Okay.
Cause I do think,
which I'm very surprised by. Like my main thought in like 10 minutes into this game was like, oh my God, John hates this game so much. And I think Michaela, I think even saw me playing. She's like, oh, John's going to hate that. Like,
yeah. I mean, I think it just always comes back to the fact that, you know, we're on episode 7. There is so many good Apple Arcade games. And
are there, though? Like, we're, you
I'm
know,
playing
what is
a different
there,
100? Game right now?
And we're almost,
very,
we're almost
very good.
10% of the way. Yeah, I mean, there's good ones, but of the 7 or 6 that we've now chatted about, you've liked like 2 of them.
One of them.
Oh, yeah, well, just one.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great track record. That's a lot about how I think, and we can dive into some of it, but what are your thoughts?
So I agree with a lot of what you said, but I also liked the game and had fun with the game. It just was like this, in a way, I think felt sort of like another almost chill out sort of game. Like there's not a time, essentially, like each book is broken up into a number of chapters, and each chapter is broken up to a number of pages, and each page, like, it may have the same puzzle, same sort of puzzle on it. Sometimes they'll swap types of puzzles, like, between pages. But what you're trying to do, essentially, is the faster... Well, there's different modes. Like, after you get through the tutorial, you can play, like, a super casual mode, which is not timed at all, and you can just read through and do the puzzles, taking any amount of time that you like. But there's also, like, a timed mode where each page, you have the opportunity to earn 10 ink pots, basically, and you spend ink on acquiring new books in the bookstore, which there's, like the description said, read more than 50 books. There's only certain books available at certain times, so they kind of swap out, I think, every week or twice a week. So the faster you get through these pages, the better rating you get on the chapter and the more ink that you earn. So you can kind of play it like any way you want. A benefit that I saw potentially for people that like struggle with their reading speed, for instance, is that it could potentially help you read faster because you are, you know, it is gamifying it. It is giving you an objective or a purpose for reading more quickly than you already do. So that aspect I kind of thought was neat. But I also really agree with you in that because there's a few speed settings, I think, as well, if I remember correctly. And I think I went a little bit above what the standard was. And it's pretty tough at times. Like when you're doing like the misspelled word puzzles, obviously that's very easy because you can clearly see that it's misspelled and you just tap on it and it fixes it. But sometimes the word swapping lines puzzles can be tough. You're just trying to read through it so quickly in order to solve the puzzles that you get almost nothing from the book when you're doing it quickly, I think.
Right.
Casual mode probably feels totally different, and you probably do feel like you are actually reading what you're reading. But I found like I got like 30-something chapters into Pride and Prejudice of the 50 that the book has. I couldn't tell you almost anything about it.
Right, yeah.
Which seems crazy to me. Just because you're just rushing through, you're just trying to get to the next page. You're not absorbing any of it. You're moving on so quickly from what you're doing currently. But on the faster speeds, I did find that, and especially I think that if it was a more modern book, it wouldn't feel like this. But because it's such an old book, like Pride and Prejudice specifically, but most of the books are quite old because I think they're all probably out of copyright.
Yes, for sure.
It's interesting because the language is different. So where I sometimes would struggle, especially when trying to go as quick as possible, is that the sentences don't flow like a sentence would today, and so sometimes I would kind of get jumbled up, being like, "Nothing makes sense." Did you find that at all?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I played through quite a bit of it. I thought that it was quite fun. I thought design wise, it almost reminded me. And it has more to it. But do you remember that puzzle game Threes from a long time ago?
I don't think so.
It was like, it came out like before, like 2048, like ripped it off. Threes was like this nice, am I thinking about letterpress?
Oh yeah, letterpress, yeah.
It kind of feels like letterpress.
Yes.
The UI that. In a lot of ways, but yeah, I thought the UI was very well done. Like you said, the sound effects and the feedback that the game gives you is great. I think that there is some value in terms of trying to do these puzzles and trying to do them quickly. But yeah, if you are jumping in, downloading this game because you think like, oh, I would, you know, I read Pride and Prejudice years ago and I would love like a recap of what was happening. Like, it's really hard to get anything out of what you're reading when you're trying to play it quickly. This is my biggest takeaway from playing this game.
Yeah.
And I did some of like I unlocked a couple other books and I did some of these like poems. There's a poem book that you unlock and everything like that. Couldn't tell you anything about anything I've done, which is crazy to me because I spent quite a bit of time playing it. And aside from those ratings on the chapters and I know some character names, but probably not all of them. Like, that's all I got out of
For sure. Well, and that's exactly what I thought.
I don't even remember where the zombies were.
Oh man. I think in terms of the challenging aspect, I wish, because when you're looking at it, the page content is very limited. Like, there's probably like a couple sentences or it on the screen at any given time.
A little bit like a paragraph.
Yeah. Like, I almost feel like if it looked more like an ebook, like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, where you're actually, like, there was a lot more variety in where you could place things would up the challenge quite a bit. You know, where you've got more content on the screen and you can read it like a regular book, but maybe there's not a lot more sentences to move around would be like a lot harder and B, you might actually get more of the book out of it.
Yeah,
I don't know why they used the abridged one. I guess just because it would be long otherwise.
Yeah, I have to imagine because it plays pretty quickly. Like, you're going through, you're jumping through a chapter in a couple of minutes type thing.
Yeah,
and I have to imagine that. Like, I don't know if people would have much of the attention span, especially with the being older books. A lot of people have trouble reading a lot of these older titles just because they can be very dry and old feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people would stick with it potentially if it was the full versions of these titles.
True. Did you play it mainly on your phone then?
This is another one I only played on my phone. I cannot imagine playing a game like this on an Apple TV.
No.
iPad, I'm sure, is great, but then the words must be giant.
I played it on the iPad just to try it out. I did play mainly on the phone as well, but it shows you two pages side by side like a book.
Oh, neat.
So that was a big difference of it.
Yeah.
The puzzles remain just on the right side. So you
do you see what your previous page was on the left? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is kind of nice. That to me seemed about the only difference. Like I said earlier, the taptic feedback on the phone was also really good. Like when you move the letters and the words around.
Yeah.
So I like that. I feel like a lot of the games we've played, they've really done a good job with the taptic feedback.
They definitely have. Yeah. Which is interesting because I feel like thinking back to games that I had really spent time with prior, I don't recall a lot of that. And I feel like almost all of them have had very good feedback, which absolutely helps. I mean, you're playing on a platform with no physical buttons available to you. And it helps so much, I think, in regards to feeling more connected with what you're playing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's so funny that you pinpointed my thoughts. I mean, your thoughts aren't that different, though.
I mean, my thoughts on my experience with the game is fairly similar, but I recognize that, you know, diversity is key in regards to gaming. And this is a very unique title. I can't say that I've ever played a title like this.
Did you ever find it?
And I did enjoy it.
Challenging.
I did, and I'm playing on a fairly fast speed. I think I wonder if in the options can I see, like, I am playing on speed reader. And it's tough. It is challenging, but I wonder if I drop down, you know, is it because I'm playing on a higher difficulty, is that why I am not getting anything out of what I'm reading? Like, if I was on a normal difficulty, would it feel any better? Or you're still reading as fast as you can?
Did you not find it repetitive, though?
Like,
imagine you're like book 30 and you're 40 chapters
it's
in.
I mean, in a way, I guess it is. Yeah.
Around.
But is it, I would say it's probably not any more repetitive than a typical puzzle game.
Yeah, I guess I just never found them that much of a puzzle.
The word puzzle.
So that being said, do you recommend that people try this out?
I think it's fun. I think that if you are into reading and or into puzzles, this is a reading puzzle game and you'll probably like it. I had fun with it. I'm playing it at a time too, and I'll probably talk more in the after show about this, but I'm trying to get more into reading lately. Mm-hmm. So it kind of fit right in with my goals as of late, and so it felt fun. It's worth a download, I would say, for sure.
Okay.
Unless you hate reading or puzzles or things that aren't traditional video games, I think there's a lot to like here. And again, it's designed beautiful. Like, it's a very well done app.
Yes.
It's gorgeous to look at. And even the way the words kind of flow off the page when you've completed a page or completed a chapter, like, it's all very kind of like spunky and fun.
And even
I thought it was really well done.
Cover of the book loads. It's really well made.
Totally, yeah, it's beautiful.
I don't think I would recommend it.
No, I didn't. I don't think you would either.
No, again, it's no fault of the app. I just think it could use a little bit more. I don't know, something.
What would have you more into the game aside from, like, say, non-abridged versions? Like, what mechanically do you think would you find more interesting in a title
just
like this?
Not just a little bit more content on the screen, I think, to just make the puzzle a little bit harder. Because sometimes the four sentences, they're just right on top of each other, and it's so easy.
Sure.
You're just dragging the sentences on different orders. I don't know. I don't want to. Like I said, when I sat down to write this, I didn't want to seem super negative because I did not hate it. I just didn't find it that fun. That's all.
Okay.
You know, and I am playing other fun games on the service. So they are out there. So we'll get there.
Okay. What are you playing right now that you find fun?
Should we talk about, like, what if we draw that game tonight?
Then you've got a head start.
I guess you'll know what I think about it. Okay. Well, I'll say the one I'm enjoying a lot.
Okay,
I am nervous that if we draw it, though, because then you're going to know what I think about it. And the one time I have a chance to say something positive about a freaking game on this show, I'll have already said it.
I mean, you can talk about it now or you can not talk about it now.
I won't talk about it, but I will say that there are good games.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, hopefully we just draw some. And I don't want to say this game is bad. I don't think it's bad. I just think it wasn't as fun as I expected it to be. That's all.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, that's fair.
Do you want to draw our next game?
I sure can. Yeah, I am ready to go. All right. So next episode, we are playing Cricket Through the Ages.
Cricket?
Cricket.
Like the sport?
I I don't know. Maybe the insect. Let's take a look at this App Store page and see how much John's going to hate this next game.
See, I don't want that to be the trend either. I'm just the fucking guy that hates everything.
It is the trend, though. Oh, history told through cricket. John. John, you're in for a treat. Play cricket through the ages with Apple Arcade. Oh, yeah, that's just talking about Apple Arcade. Swing bats and throw balls through the intertwined histories of humankind and cricket in this one-button, physics-driven game.
This looks fun,
Oh,
though.
It looks kind of fun.
This looks fun.
Yeah, kind of quappy. It kind of looks like
a It does kind of look quappy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I wonder if it's related at all.
I don't know. For those that don't know, Derek is a...
I'm a quap champion.
Yeah, definitely. World champion. Well, that looks fine.
It does. It's not made by the people that made quap, but a lot of press is saying it's quap style. So,
well, you've got the upper hand.
So I'm in. I actually put quap on my last resume that I made. like it was a certification of sorts. It was just like one line in my certifications area, and it read like completed quap with a final score of this. I got the job, so, and I'm pretty sure that's why.
Well, you know what's funny is someone who doesn't know what quap is would assume that stands for some sort of like
qualified
workplace organizer.
And
person.
Someone that does know what quap is, they're like, this guy's hilarious.
And amazing.
Why would you put that on your resume? Yeah. And dedicated.
You have to be.
He's dedicated. Yeah, you have to be. Yeah, that's so we're playing cricket through the ages next week.
Well, I'm excited for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Final thoughts on your beer?
I wish it was more carbonated. I don't know. I wish I could. I should have like thrown it in like a SodaStream bottle and tried to get some more carbonation in there. But it's like almost empty. I got like a sip left, so it's not too bad. Anyways, better than expected. Better than expected.
Mine is like that game, and I'm just gonna give it a fine. It's just
but not even worth a download on the subscription you're already paying for.
It's not
for.
Bad, and it's not great.
But it's got a nice bottle. Has a bottle.
Mine's just a can. It's very fine.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that about wraps it up.
I think so.
So if you enjoy our episode and are talking about a video game and hearing my...
For several minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't super in-depth this week, but...
You know, sandwiched by us talking about nothing.
Pretty much, though.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
Definitely hit the App Store or the iTunes Store and give us a like and a review. 5 stars. Well, hopefully 5 stars. Maybe a little just 3 stars and just write fine. Please don't do that. but share it with one person if you enjoy the show. Derek, any other thoughts?
No, I'm looking forward to the next episode. This seems there's more action in this next game, so
yeah.
Maybe you'll enjoy it. Yeah,
more gameplay.
Yeah, as always, though, we're gonna you can probably hear the music coming up right now if you hang out. Until the end of it, you're going to hear us talking about some other things that are not Apple Arcade related.
Just random, shooting the shit.
Just shooting the shit, just like we used to.
All right, till next time.
Cool. We'll see you in 2 weeks with Cricket Through the Ages. Bye-bye. Bye.
So...
Yeah.
Sounded like you had some reading stuff you wanted to talk about.
Oh, some reading stuff. Yeah, this game came at a good time because I have been trying to read more the last few months.
Yeah.
And I was sitting at work the other day. I got there pretty early because I didn't know how long it would take me to get there because of the snowstorm that has been happening.
Yeah.
And I was reading on my Kindle and it was just like this moment of like, I was so thankful for this device because I feel like so many times throughout the last few years, I'm like, oh, I want to start reading again. I want to start. And I had like, I don't know, I probably hadn't read a whole book, like aside from like comic books or graphic novels or whatever. I probably hadn't read a whole book in like several years.
Yeah.
And so I bought a Kindle with the intention of getting more into reading again. And like, it's been working. And I think that, and I always like kind of poo-pooed on them because I was like, why would you want this device that another device you got to carry around with you, but it only does one thing. Like I could just read on my iPad and read the same books, but with a higher density display and a light in case it's dark and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a night and day difference. Like it's just the iPad or an iPhone or whatever other device I'd be trying to read on, like 5 minutes of reading. And then I'm like, oh, I wonder what's on Twitter, or, oh, I think I should check my email or whatever. And then you never get back to the book.
Right.
And having this other device that just exists to do one thing, and I can't get notifications and all of that sort of stuff. Like, I've read, like, I've had it for like 4 or 5 months now, and I've read like 5 or 6 books already. Wow. At this point, which is great. And I'm, you know, like, as the weather's been poor, I've been like transiting to work, and I've been reading my Kindle on the train. And when I'm sitting there with my phone, like, I got the same books on my phone, never touch it, because there's just so much distraction out there. And yeah.
As soon as you get a message or something, you're in the message.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then never getting back to the book because, like, oh, I'm going to look at this other thing, or this person sent me a link or whatever.
Yeah.
And obviously, if I get, you know, there's still the potential for that distraction. The phone doesn't disappear. But I feel like when it's not already in your hand, it's so much easier to ignore.
Right.
And yeah, I've been loving having it. And it's like stuff like the display is very nice. Like, I was always like this didn't believe in the whole e-ink thing. But it's like very nice. It's very, very easy to read. There's a huge lack of reflection, and the battery life is incredible on these things as well.
And you just have just the basic Kindle, right?
Yeah, because I didn't know if I was going to actually use it or whatever, I just bought the standard all new, it's called all new Kindle with front light or something like that. Hmm. It's just the cheapest model that's available. Essentially, I think like another $50 gets you a higher density display, and also waterproofing. So it's not waterproof or anything like that, but total convert. It's been amazing. And yeah, I was going to ask you, I can't remember if we talked about this at all, but do you read these days, like, aside from the internet?
Not really. Not that I don't want to. I read when I travel. Usually if I'm on a trip, I read at least a book or two.
Okay.
Because that's kind of the point, is to just disconnect. And
sure.
That's about the only time I feel like I can get into the book without being distracted and interrupted. So it's interesting to hear your thoughts on the difference between reading on the Kindle versus, because I have books that I've bought on my on the iTunes bookstore, or whatever they call it, iBooks. But I do have a hard time getting through them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably partly because of the distraction aspect. But also things like, there is a lot of situations when I try and read, like if I'm outside, you can't really read.
Oh, and it's hard. Yeah, definitely.
Like reading on an iPad outside, I know that a lot of people are like that's, this is not a new fact that it's hard to read on an iPad outside. That's what anyone will tell you who tries it. But, you know, when it's all you have, it's like a frustrating experience.
Sure. Yeah.
And I've often wanted to pull the trigger on a Kindle, but you're kind of making me want to do it.
It's been like, I don't know, like I, well, and I bought the cheap one because I was super skeptical. Like, it was cheap enough that I could just buy it, but it was like, I don't want to spend more because I don't know if it's going to change anything for me. Like, again, because it's not getting rid of those other devices and whatever, but it's been phenomenal. And it's cool even because one thing that I've loved is that it also, like, because they have Wi-Fi and everything built in, you can like browse the Kindle store right on it if you want. There's like if you have Amazon Prime, there's a lot of books that are just, excuse me, I've got the hiccups. There's a lot of books that are just included for like free with your Prime subscription. I haven't read any of those books yet because I feel like I've had such like a backlog. But your Kindles also gets like a specific email address, so that if you had like a PDF or a Kindle file or whatever, like on your phone or on your computer, rather than like plugging your Kindle in to sync it over, you can just literally email the file to that email address.
Yep.
And then when your device connects to Wi-Fi, it'll just download automatically. So I've put a bunch of books on there that I had like purchased back in the day, or just like had on my computer that I wanted to read forever, literally just emailed them over. Like, I've never connected it to
that's very cool.
It's super cool. Yeah.
And I think too, what's kind of making me think that I want to buy one is, I get hung up in the, like, what am I doing if I go to the store to look at Kindles, like online? I'm looking like, well, if I'm going to buy a Kindle, it's going to be like $400.
Yeah. Right.
Because I have to have the super lightweight,
right,
high resolution,
yeah,
waterproof, you know, all, I don't even know what all the features are, but
right,
for sure that's what I did last time I looked at them.
Well, and I think that like if knowing now how much I've used it, I would get one up from where I went, which is still, I think, $130 or something like that. And that one has a higher PPI display. It's got waterproofing. The like, I think the higher up ones like do more and have like different colored lights in them. So you can adjust the light based on the color of the room. I almost never use the light though. To be honest,
I mean, books don't come with lights in them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like unless the room is like pretty dim or I'm like reading in bed or something like that. Like I don't even think about the light most of the time. And honestly, like I don't even really know, like sometimes I notice the lower resolution display, but not enough that it like bugs me. Like just sometimes it's like, oh, it'd be nice if like it was higher resolution. But yeah, for like $130 or whatever, like, I don't know. It's really changed the game for me. And like on the train today, it was like, damn it, I wish I had a few more stops because like I'm really in a good spot in this book right
That's
now.
That's awesome.
Like, which is like feelings that I haven't had in so long.
Is there any like social aspect to the Kindle? Like, can you see what friends are reading?
Well, they are. It has Goodreads integration, which I've not really jumped into because I don't have a lot of friends that read and don't really care about people I don't know.
Right.
But it does have Goodreads integration, so you can like review books and I think that just by being logged into it, your friends can see like what you've been reading, what you've been completing and stuff like that. So there is some integration there. One aspect that I like as well, because there's been instances where I maybe don't have my Kindle with me but would like to read, is that it actually syncs with the Kindle app on the phone as well. So when I say I've been reading on my Kindle, the next time I open the Kindle app and open that book, like if say I didn't bring my Kindle today or it's like somewhere else and I just want to read a few pages, like it'll actually prompt you and it'll be like, hey, you were last reading this on this device and you are actually on this page. Do you want to go right to there? And so it syncs your progress just with your Kindle account or your Amazon account as well. So it's pretty cool. It feels pretty seamless.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been really, and I always assumed it would be, it seems like it would be a more clunky device than it's turned out to be as well, which I think is what held me off from the whole e-reader thing as well is, you know, iPads have always been so sleek and with such a nice UI and everything like that. And it feels a lot less clunky than I expected it.
Right. And they're touchscreen now, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of them have page turn buttons as well, but at least the one that I got, it's like you just tap on the screen to go forward a page, and if you tap on the very left edge, or you can swipe as well, but then you can go back a page, and if you tap the top quadrant, it like brings you to the menu where you can like raise or lower the light or go back to the home menu or your library or whatever.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And what's the best book you've read since you got it?
Oh, that's tough. I ripped through a couple of books. I bought it when I kind of first started reading on it when the Chernobyl miniseries was on HBO.
Yep.
And the podcast as well. And they kept referring to this book in the podcast called Voices from Chernobyl, which was like basically firsthand stories from the people that were there, like villagers and all these crazy stories. And that was like a shocking read, I think. I thought that was pretty fantastic. I'm also reading through right now, it's a book called The History of the Future by Blake J. Harris, who also wrote Console Wars, which I really liked. But it's basically about the guy and then the founding of the company Oculus and everything that they went through. And it's like an insane story because it's just like it starts with this one dude who just loved the idea of this thing so much and had the know-how or at least the will to kind of make it happen. And then everything else in terms of like, I feel like in terms of team members and timelines and everything like that, I feel like so many things had to fall in place and happen at just the right time for them to blow up like they have. And then obviously they got bought by Facebook like 4 years ago. And now are releasing like the Oculus Quest came out a few months ago and is amazing, and I bought one, and it has so much, like, everyone's in love with this thing.
Yep.
But I'm very interested. I'm about halfway through this book right now. It's a pretty massive book, and it's got all these like interviews with people, and like you just are learning the story of this company and this guy that had this dream type thing, and it's like quite inspiring, and it's just absolutely fascinating.
That's awesome. Wow, I'm looking at them right now. They look good. Yeah, of course I'm drawn to the $359 one, but
don't even worry about it. Just get the
You know what's weird about the expensive one though?
It's kind of ugly.
It's kind of ugly.
Yeah,
like it's got like, why is it so lopsided looking?
Like it's got a, it's so you can just hold that side of it.
I guess.
But I don't know why.
It doesn't look as good as the cheap one.
No, it doesn't.
Interesting. It's funny when you said, like, that's literally the name. All new Kindle. Now
with front light. Yeah.
it's the model name.
I just didn't want you to mistake it for the other one.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah.
Well, very cool.
Yeah, yeah. Let me know when it gets here.
Yeah.
And I'll share some books with you that are copyright free and Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
I'll let you borrow my copy.
I'll be extra.
It's a bridge, though. I don't know if you'll be into it.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to just
get
your thoughts on. Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
It is... all the original lineup is kind of wrapping up now.
Yeah.
Season finales. What do you think so far of the service? I know the reason why I'm asking is because when it first launched, you had a pretty negative thought around the fact that you just thought it would be a flop.
I don't remember that at all.
I mean, you definitely didn't think that it would be very successful. And I'm just curious if you were negative about it. Not negative. That's not the right word. You definitely seem to think that it wouldn't be super successful. Maybe not a flop, but
successful in terms of not in terms of quality, but I think we had a discussion
viewership,
about like
maybe
viewership and stuff like that. I still think that it's going to struggle, and maybe not right now because everyone that bought any Apple device essentially is watching it for free right now, including both of us.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that it's tough because we're just in this time today when, you know, let's not even talk about Canada where we're more limited, but let's talk about the US where they have already substantially more streaming services available than we do. And they also have Peacock from NBC launching later this year. And they also have HBO Max launching this year and other ones that I can't even think of right now. I think that, and those all have, obviously they have original content, just like Apple TV Plus does, but the thing that's going to bring people in is the shows that they already love. And, you know, people come for the shows that they love and they stay for the new stuff that they had no idea existed type thing. And Apple has one of those, and I've really thoroughly enjoyed most of the content that they've put out. You know, we're recording this on the day the Servant season finale came out, and I'm so excited to watch that because that show's been absolutely fascinating.
Me too.
They've got the one side and they've got really good original content, but aside from handing this service out for free when you buy something, which I think is a great strategy because I think I would have subscribed anyways because, tell me about a streaming service and I'll subscribe to it basically. But, you know, I would have subscribed to it anyways, but there's a lot of people that I don't think would give it a chance because, it doesn't have any shows I recognize on it, regardless of the quality of the shows that are on there.
And I think their strategy is very smart because people are going to get into it for free. They're going to watch all the shows and they're
very
good.
They're going to have to start paying for it right when season two of things start coming out.
Exactly. Absolutely. And they're going to time it very well. People's one year is going to lapse as season two starts rolling out.
And honestly, I think they're in a spot right now where it's an inexpensive streaming. Like it's like what, $6-$7, but I don't know if there's that much value there. Like you could, without much trouble, you could sign up for 1 month and watch everything that they have at this point.
It's just, you know what's funny about the pricing is like we pay $5.99 for a movie rental.
I'm not saying I have a problem with it. But it's like what? It's like the same. It's barely cheaper than Disney Plus, isn't it?
It's very similar.
Yeah. Very similar. But like who's going to choose this over Disney Plus?
That's true.
For instance.
Yeah. Like I said, I just was curious if your thoughts have changed at all. I think the quality of content is very good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I have two questions for you. A, what's your favorite like show on the service? And then have you heard many people talking about the service outside of like our sort of inner Apple circle?
That's a great question. First, to your first question, that is a tough one because I've watched most of the shows that they have, aside from I haven't finished C yet. And I don't know why, because I really like it. And I feel like it struggled a bit at the start, but then I really got into it in later episodes. But I still have like a few left that I've not seen. And I think that might be where there's so much stuff coming out right now that other services have been taking my attention. And aside from specific shows like Servant and stuff like that. not including finales, I would have said For All Mankind was my favorite show.
Yep.
But after the finales, I think that the morning show finale was spectacular.
It was good.
And potentially one of the best season finales that I've seen in recent memory.
Right.
And I feel like the For All Mankind finale was fine, and it potentially set itself up better for additional seasons, but I didn't think that it was that exciting or that climactic or anything like that, where the morning show finale was just so over the top, and it was like, what the hell's going to happen in the next few minutes? Very high stakes, it felt like, and it was super good. I want to see the morning show, and depending on how the Servant finale ends up, it could be Servant as well, because I've loved every, it just got the creepiest tone, and it's like always keeps me guessing. The performances have all been great, and just how these, like, some of these people just hate each other but like need each other as well, like it's it's fascinating, and if they can stick the landing, I think that could be up there as well.
Well, we're very much in tune with our thoughts on the shows. I have like 3 episodes left of C. I don't know why. Yeah. I haven't finished it. It's
totally,
it's not that it's not great. It's just that it didn't quite draw me into the next episode in the way that the other shows did.
Yeah.
And same thing, For All Mankind, fantastic show. I think overall I enjoyed it more than the morning show. But you're exactly right. The finale of the morning show was like the perfect, like, it just, it was really excellent.
And, totally, yeah.
And then, yeah, Servant. I'm literally so stoked to watch the season finale. Yeah. I hope we get some answers.
Well, and I'm excited too for just today, as we record this, a new show called Little America just released, which has been like critically, they're saying it's the best Apple TV Plus show so
really?
Far. And it's like an anthology series that looks super interesting. So I can't wait to check that out. A couple of weeks, we've got that like Raven Quest.
Yes.
Finally a comedy coming to Apple TV Plus from the literally Charlie Day and the other guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Which looks hilarious as well. It's dropping all of its episodes at once, and it's already been renewed for a second season also. So they are getting more diverse in their content as well, it seems like. But I'm really excited to see what they have on the horizon as well.
So have you heard people talking about the shows or talking about the service?
Oh yeah, your second question. Nobody. Yeah. No. Not unless, I mean, up until very recently, I worked at Apple, and so those people definitely talked about it.
Yeah.
But I feel like for the most part, if I'm meeting up with someone, mm-hmm. you know, I love TV and I love film and I love talking about that stuff, and I watch a lot of it. And so, you know, I go out to see somebody, almost always I am like, you know, what have you been watching or whatever, or, you know, lately I've been like, have you checked out any of the Apple TV Plus shows? Because they are really generally have been very good shows. Nobody has said yes almost.
I find that most people don't even know there's a service.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, it's kind of, and I can see that because aside from ads, like the app is confusing as hell because it's encompassed within all of the other offerings that you can get on the iTunes store, and the Watch Now area, which encompasses a number of other streaming services as well. And it literally has the same name as a box they sell, an app that they have, and also now this service that they offer. Like,
well, if you didn't know that the service had been released, it would be, even looking at the Apple TV Plus app would be hard to be able to garner that they launched a service.
Yeah. Because it's not like, I wish it was more segregated in regards to like, here is the Apple TV Plus content. But also, are they not segregating it on purpose? Because then you'd be like, oh, there's like 6 options.
Oh, yeah. If you saw it like in a catalog format where you're scrolling through the title pages, it wouldn't be very much.
You wouldn't have to scroll. There would be no scroll.
Yeah. they did this new contract with the guy from HBO is pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah,
I forget his name, but you know, he ran HBO through its like heyday over the last like 15 years, and he's exclusively making, I think, exclusive.
I think he's exclusive to Apple
for
as
years.
Well at the time, yeah.
So that's pretty exciting, and I think that's the mindset that Apple TV Plus is going for. You know, as HBO moves away from what people think of HBO as, you know, it used to be that HBO only produced 5 to 10 high caliber shows a year. I mean, that was the way it used to be.
Yeah.
They're moving away from that since they merged with AT&T.
Right.
And so,
well, and I don't know that they're moving towards more stuff, But I think to this point, it's still, you know, I don't watch a ton of their content, I guess. But, you know, I've been really, like, Watchmen obviously made it on everybody's top lists of last year, including the former president of the United States, Barack Obama. But, like, you know, we've now got show, you know, new season of Curb Enthusiasm starting. People are going to love that. The Outsider, based on that Stephen King novel. As we record this, we're two episodes in. Those two episodes were fantastic. And I've heard people talking about just in day to day.
Yes, yes.
In, you know, 3 days at, or less than a week after it aired, we're 3, 4, or 5 months into Apple TV Plus. Never heard anybody in public talking about it.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Well, like I said, just wanted to check in and see what you were thinking about it. I'm very excited for the new episode of Servant tonight.
Yeah, no, I think that it's, I mean, I'm loving it. I think that there's, I still think that, you know, next November is going to be a really interesting time period in terms of, like, when those free subscriptions are done, how many people do continue to stick with it?
It's not only going to be
season two.
And
what does their content library look like then too?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's not only going to be season two, but by then we'll have, I assume, more and more shows coming out.
Six more shows.
Exactly. So, you know, you might have...
There'll be 12 shows total.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely going to be more than six this year. You're exaggerating a little bit, but maybe...
A little bit.
You know, maybe it's 30. But
And it's not going to be 30. There's no way it's 30.
By next year, you don't think?
I don't think so. 30 new shows by this time next year.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we were just talking about the fact Netflix, their 2020 budget is insane.
They got a new show every day. Every day, the spotlight's different.
Yeah, $17 billion.
And none of them are as good as their new hit reality show, The Circle, which I was going to ask you about.
Yeah, $17 billion on new content in 2020. I brought up to you, that's got to rival, like, Disney, which is, like, the biggest power. Like, when you think about how many blockbuster movies and television shows you could make with $17 billion, when a high budget movie is $200 million.
Yeah.
So it just blows the mind. But yeah, Circle. We just both. Oh, you haven't finished that.
I have not finished the Circle yet. And it's like, it's so weird because it's like, so like, I only saw it because it was in the spotlight on Netflix. Literally, I stumbled upon this show and now it's blowing up. Like, everyone's talking about this show as well.
Yes.
But, you know, way more than any Apple TV Plus show. It's literally in the spotlight. It's like playing in the background. Michaela's on the phone with her mom. We're supposed to go out, I think, to see a movie. And I'm like, well, she's going to be on the phone for like 10 minutes. I'm just going to start the show and see what it is.
Yeah.
And then, like, instantly hooked. And this show is god awful. And it's trashy. It's so bad, but it's addicting. And I can't stop watching.
It's good,
and essentially, like, it's kind of like this new, terrible new age Survivor in that you've got like, 8 people basically locked in these apartment, like the small apartments. And the only way that they can converse with the other people that are in this game show is through this fake social network called The Circle. And so in the first episode, for instance, you're introduced to all these...
Which is voice activated exclusively.
Yes, yeah. They're not in front of a computer. They have multiple screens throughout their apartment. And they can just speak out loud what they want to do, essentially. But yeah, it's like, you know, in the first episode, for instance, you're introduced to all these people, and then basically they create their profile, which at that point is literally limited to they put their name down, their age, their relationship status, like a sentence or two description, like about themselves, and one profile picture. And then based on that limited amount of information, they all have to rank how much they like each other. And it's absurd. And like, some of them are like, oh, people wouldn't actually like who the real me was, or I'm too abrasive or whatever. And so they create an entirely fake person to try to play this game as. So there's like multiple catfishes that exist in this environment as well. And, you know, they play these like weird games that like try to reveal more about themselves. And at the end of the episode, they have to like rate each other again. And the people that were rated the highest, two of them become influencers, and then they have to vote who to, like, essentially they have to discuss and decide who to block from the circle, which votes them off the show, essentially. And it's like, I don't know why it was so instantly addicting. Like, these people are just like really interesting characters. And it's interesting too, you just it, like, I don't want to get too into it in regards to spoilers in case people listen and decide to watch it. But, you know, like there's people that I came into the first episode. I was like, I almost don't want to watch this show because I hate this person so much. And now I'm 8 episodes in and I'm like, this is my second favorite person. Like yeah. they are, you know, they're a gem. Like yep. it's so weird. And it's like a fascinating, it's like this weird, like Black Mirror, meow meow beans. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like,
it is very weird.
And it's terrible, but I can, like, I hope to God there's more of it after this. Like,
yeah. Well, you know, I only started watching it because I heard you and someone else talking about it. And so, it like what you said, I mean, people are talking about the show.
Yeah.
And of course, I've finished it now that the final episodes just came out. You're a little bit behind. Yeah. But I'm stoked because I didn't realize this, but this show existed before Netflix bought the rights. Yeah. So there's actually two additional seasons from the UK that weren't produced
by
Netflix. And
how old is the UK version? Like,
I don't think it's very old.
Just from like last year or a couple years ago?
Yep, okay. I think so. So it, and in some ways people are saying it's better. It's definitely very similar, but it's like
different
at the same time. Anyway, so I'm stoked to download that somehow, somewhere.
Totally, yeah.
But yeah, what I did like about the show is, you know, you and I, we both love technology, and it was very interesting to see people interacting with this fake voice activated computer. Because, you know,
well, it has to be just like a dude dedicated to each of them background.
I looked into it.
Oh, really?
Each person has a dedicated transcriber that operates the system.
Yeah.
And because when you're seeing them, and, you know, what's funny to me is that there's so many people who think that somehow Netflix solved the voice activated computer system.
How could you think that?
There's a lot of dumb people out there. But the entire time I'm watching the show, I'm super distracted. I think this season is 12 episodes.
It's 12 episodes, yeah.
No joke, in the 12th episode, I'm still like picturing that guy sitting there typing. You know, because it's so distracting for me knowing the technology doesn't exist to do what they're presenting. That I just kept thinking about that person who's just, you know, like, they must have, you know, did they custom make this app? And like, are they hiding the mouse? You know, like, how are they doing this? But that being said, it was very interesting to see this almost picture of what could be the future, where you have your televisions and you have your TVs in your kitchen and you can just kind of walk around and just say, hey, thing, open up this thing, and then you can kind of interact with it as you walk around the house. And I thought that was very cool to see. And these people in the show, they're just regular people, younger and, you know, not particularly tech savvy, and they're just interacting via voice. And I thought
my boy Shuby.
Your house. Oh yeah. Yeah, no, he's probably very well, he's a software engineer.
He's a VR developer.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, for him, obviously, anything computer oriented would be easy. But it was still really fascinating to me to think about the fact that it's possible that in 5-10 years, you and I will just be able to walk around and say, hey, whatever it's named, and open up my, you know, chat app and send a message to this. And, you know, we're close. It's after watching the show, I've kind of been paying attention to like, what
are we close though, or are we there? Like,
we're very like, close.
Like,
I think
aside from like limitations of proprietary apps like iMessage, for instance, like if you got whatever, you know, the Google Assistant one with the display or the Amazon Echo Show, you like the Google one, I'm sure you can open up Hangouts and
that's
do
true.
Your chats entirely without looking. And on the Mac, you know, on the side of the on iOS or iPadOS or macOS, there's now full voice control regardless of what apps you're using or anything like that. So
no, you're right. We are very close. I think the only thing that we're kind of lacking is the ability for it to kind of do the software interactions. Now, that being said, this is just hitting me right now. Apple showed that voice controlled interface system at the last developers conference.
I just said that. It didn't hit you. I told you.
Did you bring up the Apple voice activated accessibility?
I literally said voice control.
That's not what I thought you meant. I thought you just meant like Siri.
Oh no, like the full fully enabled voice control of like everything.
Sorry. Yeah, I thought you meant Siri because you can use Siri to just say open up the files I worked on in the last week.
Oh yeah, no, not that. Like the full like
yes, the interface.
You can name a button that's on the screen and it'll hit it.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So what do you think like is preventing us from walking around doing what they did? Maybe we can already do it if we have the Google stuff.
Yeah, I think the fact that we're Apple people.
Yeah, it's holding us back a little bit.
Like a lot of people I think on that use Android use Hangouts as their primary chat app. Google has so many of them, it's hard to remember. But
you know what the difference is though? Was there is just a little bit more natural ability to speak and have it be accurate. So,
well, that's true. And a lot of people, you would see them do the same things, but do them in entirely different ways. And because there was a person behind it that could make sense of it, it worked. Whereas with that diverse of language in the real world, I don't know that these assistants would
like
be able
they
to
would they would
that.
Say something like, "Send Derek a message that says, 'Hey, had a great time recording a podcast,' and then finish it off by putting a heart emoji. Send."
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I just said, if you did that with current technology, would send you a message that says finish it off with a heart emoji.
Which is so annoying because if I'm in the car and I'm like using CarPlay and Michaela sends me, you know, like a shrugging emoji, it'll be like Michaela says shrugging emoji, like Michaela sends a shrugging emoji. But if I say it back, literally just sends those words.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there was just a little bit like that's I think the difference is just the ability to and you know, they never had to repeat themselves.
Language.
They never had to be like, "No."
Right.
I didn't say train, I said plane. Do you know what I mean? Like so I think from that aspect, that was what made it look so far ahead from where we're at, even though you're right, it isn't that far. It's just that the AI just isn't quite there at deciphering accurately and
at least Siri's not.
No, that's true. The Google one, you know what's funny is the Google one is better at understanding you, but I hate the voices compared to the Siri. Siri's voices are leaps and bounds ahead of the Google voices.
I've actually found I've just been like asking the Amazon Echo more stuff lately.
Yeah.
Actually, because I've been using my VR headset and if I'm like in a game and I'm like wondering about the weather, it's so much more descriptive in terms of what it tells you than Siri is.
Interesting.
Or it's we've been asking it questions lately about like actors or movies or whatever. And just the data that it gives you seems so much more useful. Whereas Siri so much is like, "Here's what I found on the web." And then you're like, "Well, I'm not looking at you."
Well, Siri's,
if I wanted to search it on the web, I would have just searched it on the web.
Siri's never been the smartest, but I definitely think it has the best voice. So I just wish that
I agree with that.
You could combine the two. But we'll see. I mean, they have this new collective agreement to work towards smart home integration. So
yes, that's true.
That's very exciting because
I'm very excited for it because now it's like it's just annoying how fragmented all
it's
the
super
smart home
fragmented
stuff is.
and
it's like it doesn't none of the it, it doesn't support HomeKit unless it's like a more expensive item.
Yes, exactly. Cool. Well, if you haven't seen it, check the show out, The Circle. And you know,
we're so sorry.
Yeah, The Circle is it's not even an expensive show. It's a perfect example of that $17 billion. Barely, you know.
Oh yeah,
it's a drop in the bucket for them.
Well, unscripted shows are so like they're so much more. They're so inexpensive compared to, you know, like look at like they can make 50 seasons of that compared to one season of The Witcher. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you watched The Witcher yet?
No, there's too many good shows,
dude.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.